Hi, I'm Brian Michael Page, and this is the Christos Vincit Podcast, a member of Disciples with Microphones and the Christos Vincit Network. Podcast number 9.
Christos Vincit, Christos Regnat, Christos Imperat.
Hello and welcome. Today is Sunday, January 22nd, 2006, the third Sunday of Ordinary Time. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And I do have some good news for you. I am happy to announce that the new homepage for our podcast is now located at www.christosvincit.net/podcast. Looks great and has all of the same great content as our old Blogspot site. Go ahead and check it out. And feel free to drop us a line in our forum, which you can find a link to in our sidebar. www.christosvincit.net/podcast. Today's show, we're going to run through this weekend's music, and we're going to have a new PowerPoint presentation from the Secretariat for Liturgy in the United States, and it's about sacred music. We'll also have Jeffrey Hall rejoining us with a short organ piece, and we'll have a top 10 list, and we'll have it all for you right after this.
Peace and good. I'm Father Seraphim Bashoner, a Third Order Franciscan, and I invite you to check out the Catholic Under the Hood podcast, where I shine a little light on, and lift a bit of the hood off, of the mystery that is the Catholic Church. So if you are interested in the history of the faith, its traditions, its spirituality, join me as each week we discover more, live more, and pray more. That's Catholic Under the Hood at catholicunderthehood.blogspot.com.
Here's our rundown of the music we did this weekend. The introit hymn is one we repeated from last week, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, text by William Keith, based on Psalm 100, and sung to the familiar hymn tune, Old Hundredth. The Gloria, as usual, was from Alexander Pelequin's Mass of the Bells. The psalm setting that we use today was found in worship appointed for the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, year B of the lectionary cycle. Psalm 25 is appointed with the antiphon, Teach Me Your Ways, O Lord. The setting to music is by Richard Prue, and the grail is the translation used for the verses. The music for the verses by the French Jesuit Père Joseph Gélinot. The Alleluia was set to music by the English Benedictine Dom Anthony Gregory Murray, also found in worship. The offertory depended on what Mass you went to. If you went to the 4:30, the 7:30 on Sunday morning, or the 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, then it was the hymn, Lord, You Give the Great Commission, with a text by Jeffrey Rawthorne, and sung to the tune Abbot's Lay, written by Cyril Vincent Taylor. Both text and tune are copyright by Hope Publishing Company. If you went to the 10:30 Mass, then you've heard the Worship of God in Nature by Ludwig von Beethoven. You know, one of my choir members who plays in another parish on Saturdays had asked me where was this beginning of Psalm 19 in relation to the readings. Well, I gave him my answer. It's not in the readings, but it's actually in the introit verse of the day, as found in the Gregorian Missal. The musical setting for the Sanctus and Agnus Dei was taken from People's Mass by Jan Vermulst. Anamnesis Mortem Tuam Annuntiamus Domine is from the Latin Jubilate Deo collection of Mass chants. The Amen was the familiar Danish Amen. And the Lord's Prayer is the sacramentary chant in English. The hymn during communion, Church of God Elect and Glorious, text was written by J. E. Seddon, set to the familiar tune Heifradal. And many know this tune as sung with a couple of familiar texts, Alleluia Sing to Jesus, and Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Finally, for the recessional, the familiar Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, sung to the Hymn of Joy from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. I think many would know that one anyways. And speaking of Hymn to Joy, we'll be right back.
Christus Vincit is a podcast, Catholic song and liturgy. It's the things we like to speak of, and some good clean fun have we. Vote for us at Podcast Alley. Do you know the reason, y'all? For yon Christus Vincit, and therefore Christ always conquers all.
Gotta love that Christus Vincit leprechaun. Loves to play around with my machines. But he got the message right. Go down to Podcast Alley and vote for Christus Vincit. Help us spread the word around.
Amen.
Okay. Hey, that was the tune of today's closing hymn. And speaking of closing hymn, now I have this big issue with the term hymn of sending forth, or simply the sending hymn. I see this in a lot of the hymn postings and even the liturgy planning guides from some of the big publishers. And granted, you know, I mentioned the recessional in our last show. The recessional hymn is not a part of the Mass except for funerals. But the sending forth was already done with the words, Ite Missa Est. The Mass has ended. Go in peace.
Yeah.
So there's no need for a sending hymn. I have in front of me a PDF version of a PowerPoint presentation that was done by the Federation of Diocesan Liturgical Commissions. It's a 19-page presentation. The first two pages are the title page and the listing of the members and advisors of the music subcommittee. We get to page 3, and we have what's called the subcommittee mandate, which reminds us of paragraph 108 of the Vatican document Liturgiam Authenticam, which translates authentic liturgy. Sung texts and liturgical hymns have a particular importance and efficacy, especially on Sunday, the day of the Lord. The singing of the faithful gathered for the celebration of Holy Mass, no less than the prayers, the readings, and the homily, express in an authentic way the message of the liturgy while fostering a sense of common faith and communion in charity. If they are to be used widely by the faithful, they should remain relatively fixed so that confusion among the people may be avoided. Here we have the call for a common repertoire. In the United States, many Christian denominations have an official hymnal by which this common repertoire is set. The Hymnal 1982 by the Episcopal Church and the Lutheran Book of Worship by ELCA Lutherans are two prime examples. Even in Canada, Roman Catholics have a common repertoire set in stone by way of Catholic Book of Worship, which is currently in its third edition. Now, this common repertoire by way of a common hymnal may be non-amendable except by a revised edition of the hymnal by the Canadian Roman Catholic officials, but it is still appendable by other Catholic worship aids. For example, also in Canada is the Living in Christ Missalette, which is published by a company called Novalis, and they're also known for using some hymnals that are published here in the United States. Now, the United States, however, has no common hymnal in the Catholic Church, no common repertoire either. This is where the confusion lies. No two hymnals are alike in the United States Catholic circuits. Some have hymns that are completely cathedral style, which is chant and classical styles of music geared to be accompanied by the pipe organ, like the Adoremus hymnal and Worship. Some hymnals are dedicated to the pilgrim style, which is folk and pop styles of music geared to be accompanied by the guitar, the piano, or even a band. Examples be Glory and Praise, Gather. Some hymnals have a mixed bag of the old and new. Some are more faithful to the liturgy documents than others. Then you have the throwaway books, missalettes and hymnals that get renewed every so often with their own little specialties. The newer music in many hymnals feature mainly those songs copyright by the hymnal's publisher. For example, music by the St. Louis Jesuits, Carrie Landry, and Owen Allstott are mostly owned by Oregon Catholic Press. Music by Alexander Pelequin, Richard Prue, Marty Hogan, David Haas are owned mostly by GIA Publications. And from World Library Publications, you have Lucian Dice, Steve Warner, and Paul Tate. So along with these few of the old standbys, and in some cases only a few of the old standbys, each publisher has its own version of their new material. Now at the rest of the section here, the action that was taken by the subcommittee. Within 5 years from the publication of this instruction, the conferences of bishops, necessarily in collaboration with the national and diocesan commissions and with other experts, shall provide for the publication of a directory or repertory of texts intended for liturgical singing. This document shall be transmitted for the necessary recognitio by the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. Let's note first of all that the publication was released on May 7th, 2001, the Liturgiam Authenticam, meaning that the 5-year deadline is just less than 4 months away. Many questions will remain, like how many pieces will be in this repertoire? Which pieces will be included? Will it be primarily cathedral style? Will it be primarily pilgrim style? Will it be a mixed bag? Will it result in a common hymnal? Or will it result in every different Catholic hymnal in the United States simply being required to carry the common repertoire? Well, here are two concerns that are addressed. One, individual songs should be consonant with Catholic teaching and free of theological error. Two, the repertoire of many liturgical songs in any given setting should not manifest a collective bias against Catholic theological elements. Without mentioning the names of particular composers, hymnals, or publishers, or even hymn titles, at this time, it's quite easy to find the most blatant violators of these two given concerns. Let's now take a look at the questions that the subcommittee has presented. Is there sufficient attention to the Trinity and to the Trinitarian structure of Catholic beliefs and teachings? Do our liturgical songs fail at times to present the Trinity as the central mystery of our Catholic faith? Does the language used in referring to the persons of the Trinity contribute at times a lack of clarity? Is there a reluctance to use the word Father for the first person of the Blessed Trinity? Now there's a key question. Is there a relationship between Jesus and the Father stressed sufficiently? Now here we go. Are there times where God is placed in a sentence where one should expect to find Father or God the Father, since the reference is precisely to the relationship between the first and second persons of the Trinity? And now we go into our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there an obscured presentation of the centrality of Christ in the salvation history and an insufficient emphasis on the divinity of Christ? Do our liturgical songs present Jesus as the culmination of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of God's plan for our salvation? Is the indispensable place of the Incarnation in the plan of salvation sufficiently presented? Is Jesus the Savior often overshadowed by Jesus the Teacher, Model, Friend, and Brother? Is there an appropriate balance? Is there an imbalance in our emphasis on the humanity or divinity of Jesus Christ? And then it states, at times, we can detect a negative undertone in speaking of the divine nature of Christ, as if divinity is equated with being distant and unreal. I'm going to skip over a couple of pages here. I'm going to go over to page 11. The subcommittee took 20 of the most popular liturgical songs, that's in quotes, most popular liturgical songs, for sample applications of theological criteria. Note that no titles were mentioned in this list. The first question asked in examining the songs was what names they used to refer to God. Here, a full range of biblical titles were used, though Father was used only 10% of the time. None of the songs referred to the three persons of the Blessed Trinity or utilized a Trinitarian structure. Only 35% of the songs referred to Christ. 55% of the songs emphasized the individual believer. 35% emphasized concerns of the larger church, while only 10% were centered exclusively on the praise of God. That's pretty bad. Only 10% centered on praising God. That's 2 out of the 20. Here's 3 examples that they did give for critique. One is a hymn text called The Day of Pentecost Arrived, which was normally sung to the early American tune Land of Rest. The third verse sings, "Our inhibitions make us die to you and to our friends." But aren't some inhibitions actually good? Enabling us to live for God and our friends? And then, it's amazing they put this in there. This is one of my favorites, "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." The tune is a French melody called Picardy. It points out some text alterations in verses 1 and 3 that were made to eliminate the so-called, and I stress the word so-called, archaic language. Verse 1, "Christ our God to earth descendeth," to descended. And the same thing with verse 3, "as the light of light descendeth," changed to descended. Note how these were changed from the present tense to the past tense. And the critical notion of Christ's continuous coming among us, especially in the Holy Eucharist, is now lost. Finally, the Omer Westendorf hymn text, "Sing Praise to Our Creator." In the last line of verse 1, "baptized into His grace," suddenly became "baptized in living grace." Why? What's the meaning? I'm not the only one asking this. Apparently the subcommittee asked that same question. Now, as stressed in the document Musicam Sacram, translated sacred music, there are 4 types of liturgical music. 1. Of first consideration are those parts of the liturgy which, quote, "are by their nature of greater importance, and especially those which are to be sung by the priest or by the ministers, with the people replying, or those which are to be sung by priest and people together." 2. Secondly, the liturgy provides acclamations and litanies, refrains, and other repeated responses. 3. Antiphons and psalms form an essential part of the Mass, not only in the liturgy of the Word, but in the entrance, communion, and other processional chant. 4. Finally, liturgical songs in the forms of both the traditional and popular hymns and canticles are sung at various points during the Mass to facilitate the full conscious and active participation by all present. We get into the final pages now. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have adopted these norms for the use of liturgical song in the United States. 1. The approval of liturgical songs is reserved to the diocesan bishop, in whose diocese an individual song is published. He is supported in his work by this directory and by the USCCB Secretariat for the Liturgy. 2. The diocesan bishop is assisted in his review of the individual text through the formation of Committee for the Review of Liturgical Songs, consisting of eminent theologians, liturgists, and musicians. This committee shall assure that each text is doctrinally correct and scripturally or liturgically based. 3. Within 2 years, the Committee on the Liturgy shall formulate a common repertoire of liturgical songs for use in all places where the Roman Liturgy is to be celebrated in the dioceses of the United States of America. This common repertoire will be included in all worship aids used in the dioceses of the United States of America. So there you go. In the next 2 years, every hymnal and missalette is expected to contain a common repertoire. We'll stay posted and keep you posted as to how it goes. For the actual PowerPoint presentation, you can go to the Secretariat for Liturgy's homepage at www.uscb.org/liturgy and scroll down to where it says PPT update on the music subcommittee. And now for a short piece by Johann Sebastian Bach, played by Jeffrey Hall. That was Jeffrey Hall playing the chorale prelude Vom Himmel kam der Engel Schar, which is translated From Heaven Came the Angel Host. The piece was written by Johann Sebastian Bach. Jeffrey Hall comes to us courtesy of SoundClick.com and has a website of his own, www.flagmusic.com. which contains some classical work as well as some of his own original work. He also specializes in ragtime music as well. Thank you much to Jeffrey Hall for once again permitting us to use his work on our show.
Top 10.
I have in front of me today's top 10 list, brought to you by PWTN, the Progressive Word Television Network. 24-hour programming for the Progressive Catholic. Check to see if it's available in your area by visiting The Curt Jester, www.splendoroftruth.com/Curt Jester, and scroll to the September 2005 archives. The top 10 list for today from the home office in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Here is the top 10 least popular choir vestment colors or designs. Here we go. Number 10, Tickle Me Pink. Number 9, Baby Blue with White Balloons and Little Brown Teddy Bears. Number 8, Fire Engine Red Streaks of Yellow. Number 7, Canary Yellow. Number 6, Gray with your favorite cartoon characters all over the cassock. Number 5, Red with White Target Bullseyes. 4, White with Red Target Bullseyes. 3, Red and Black as a checkerboard. Number two, clear. And the number one, least popular choir investment color or design, anything with an inmate number going across the front.
Hi, this is Father Jay Finelli from iPadre Catholic Podcast.
iPadre.
Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. Drop by our site at iPadre.net. That's iPadre.net. God love you.
iPadre.
Christus Vincit is a member of
Disciples with Microphones, individual podcasters united with a single goal: to live the new evangelization, bringing truth to podcasting through shows such as these.
Welcome to the Weekly Roman Observer, our news commentary on the Holy Father's newspaper.
I'm Father Seraphim Bashoner, host of Catholic Under the Hood.
I am Father Stephen Cuyus, a Filipino missionary of the Sacred Heart.
My name is Greg Willett.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we welcome you once again to the Rosary Army Podcast.
This is Brian Ngo from the Verbum Domini Podcast.
This is Michael Kreidler from the Breadcast.
Dick Loris, and welcome to Going Forth. This is your host, George Leap.
Welcome to CatholicJukebox.com presents Catholic Rockers.
This is the Catholic Cast.
True Knights Combat Training. Podcasting for purity.
The Catholic Mormon Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
My name is Lisa Marrero, and blessed to be Catholic.
DisciplesWithMicrophones.org. Baptize your earbuds.
Christus Vincit is also a member of the Christus Vincit Network. Come see us today at www.christusvincit.net. And don't forget to check out our new podcasting page, www.christusvincit.net/podcast. You'll like the look, and you'll enjoy the same great content. Thank you very much for joining us today. Stay tuned for more Christus Vincit podcasting in days to come. I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Christus Vincit, Christus Regnat, Christus